Okay, I'm here in bed. Like, I'm waking up. I forgot to turn off my alarm. That's the first thing I was gonna do before I recorded this. I was gonna turn off the 8:30, but whatever. This isn't gonna be 10 minutes. I have access to my genome. I would like to know what exactly you're talking about. So, please link me to this comment, and I'm probably gonna... If this applies to me, I might end up doing it too. I actually have not, like, I've not had very many dreams. I mean, lately. I had tons of dreams when I was on progesterone. I had tons of dreams when I took testosterone, like, low dose. But E by itself, with sertraline, none, ever. It's like, I'm not allowed to dream anymore. But I mean... The other night, like last night, I don't remember last night's dream at all, but one yesterday, all I remember is that, like, for some reason, for some purpose, like, a friend had to, like, transform into me or something, and all I remember is, like, remarking that I had, like, a pretty decent ass, and I didn't know that. I was like, huh, okay, weird. Like, you know, that's actually a very nice dream to have compared to, like, you know. When I was a kid, it was always, like, you know, running away from danger or something. Like, it was, like, I was under sniper fire. Being under sniper fire was a very common dream throughout my teens and 20s. I don't know. I'd have to find other examples. I think I write them down in my Discord every time I have a dream. I just end up describing it. Or my journal or whatever. Shoot, what was I gonna say? I mean, I wasn't criticizing you for not taking out a mortgage at, like, 18. Dude, you couldn't, as I said, you couldn't have convinced me to do that. That's, like, an insane amount of money in debt, you know? I mean, like, yeah, I went to university, whatever, but, like, in Canada, there's not that much debt. Like, for me, university was just a means by which I could transition. I didn't have a very good home situation at the time, and I was just like, you know what, I'll take the debt so that I can transition at 18. That's really all that mattered to me. But, like, if I were to, you know, someone's like, oh, you should put down, like, you should try to qualify for, like, you know, $300,000 of debt for this house that might pay off or might not. I'd be like, wow, that really defines the shape of my life for the next, you know, 30 years. Or, you know, even if I try and sell it, if the market has a downturn, like, wow, I'm being, like, you know, exposed to macroeconomic effects. Though, I mean, honestly, aren't we all? Like, right now, I'm being pretty fucking exposed to macroeconomic effects and how much I'm paying for rent and groceries and whatever. But, you know, to have, like, you know, your mortgage payments go up by, like, 1,000% because interest rates are no longer, you know, zero. I mean, in the States, I believe they let you lock it down for 30 years, so I guess it's, you're a little bit less exposed to that. Here, you have to renew every 3 to 5 years, I think. Thinking. I mean, I don't know. It depends on the city, I guess, how much there's camaraderie. Toronto's a city where you really can't break into a friend circle very easily. People have defined circles and they don't really go outside them. So usually you keep to yourself, keep your headphones on the street, you know. There's not a whole lot of interaction. Vancouver, at least people will talk to you. Like, you can just sort of hang out with people. But I wouldn't say that it's like there's a lot of intermingling of groups naturally, you know. There's just an openness to it. It's not as cliquish. My time in Montreal kind of reminded me of being in Brooklyn, and that it was super easy to go from, like, scene to scene, or just to hang out with random people. I found that'd be quite heartening. I don't know, my times in New York, it was just like, I'd go to a friend's house, you'd be like, oh, we're having a party every day this week, and you go to the party, and then you get swept into, like, 5 more parties or something, like, someone has something else going on somewhere, and you just sort of come with, and you keep getting adopted by people. And then you go home at, like, 3 or so, and it's, like, a Wednesday. Like, it's just, like, I don't know, it seemed to just keep happening to me. phone screen went off. Oh, there we go. Okay, that's fine. I realize it's a holiday, but I think I have a meeting in like 30 minutes. I'm trying to help a friend start a company. If it comes into shape, then cool, I have a job. If it doesn't, then it doesn't. And I'll have a lot of stock for no reason. But we're meeting, you know, once a week just to go over like the product idea, and they're fundraising kind of aggressively right now. Like, they're doing all the right things. So I feel, you know, maybe it'll work out. The freelance thing is like, yeah, I mean, go for it, man. I think that's a great thing to do. I mean, it's reciprocal is supposed to be, in some respects. But when you get to the pattern where, like, you just really get along great with, like, a team that you made up, and, like, you get known for that thing, and people come to you, and they're asked, like, you know, like, what would you bill for this? And you get to decide together, and your own, like, you have your own time frame of, like, okay, I want to work now, I don't want to work now, I can fit it in here, I can fit it in there. You can pick up and put down the work, depending on what matters to you at one point in time. You know, there's just a phenomenal amount of agency there. And it feels sort of like unreal that you can have that agency, but that's sort of the freelance life, I think, is that you have more space, and I don't know, you can dictate how hard you want to go at it. Like, if you really, really need to, like, you know, I need to like get in while the going's good and make all the money for the year right now. You know, you can work, you know, 120 hours. I've done that. I mean, I've done that a lot. Part of why I'm so hard to find on the internet is just the amount of times in which I've been a workaholic and disappeared. I'm more around right now just because I'm not really working. And I'm moving just so that I could potentially take more time not really doing the work thing. I mean, I don't know. I felt a lot of pressure here, paying as much as I do, to just keep the machine going. I kind of hope that in Montreal, because things are being cut in half there, my expenses, I could, you know, do the freelance thing and then, like, feel like I have permission to work on something for myself. Because right now, I'm not very good at like, giving myself my own space to do the personal work. So if I had a job, I wouldn't do the personal projects ever. Whereas if I was being paid for it, I could juggle four things. For some reason, you know, it doesn't apply to me, like, wanting to do, like a game of some kind, you know? It'd be nice to make a game again. And so I could see a world in which, you know, in Montreal, you know, I do, like, a ton of projects, and then I'm like, okay, cool, I can give myself, like, you know, 3 months, and I could, like, budget out, like, a thing I want to make, and I could, you know, use the company as a way to pay for people to collaborate with me on that, and then I can go back to work, you know? I want to do it reciprocal, and then I ended up finding in practice that, like, I had to do constant work to keep things moving just because of the expenses of the company and whatnot. I don't know. I guess I'm always trying to find that balance, you know? And, I feel like, you know, I'm never quite hitting it, and I try again. I never hit it, and I try again. It's unfortunate that it requires so much experimentation, especially when it comes to working with my friends, because there's a real risk of alienating people that I like a lot, and I have before. It's because we enter into a work context, and it just changes everything. I don't know. I'm gonna make coffee now. But, you know, I'll hug as I must. And, I'll see you when I see you.